to talk about the Twins and more things NBA. It's time to bring in somebody. Like I said, we need somebody who's smarter than I am. It is Brian Geisinger. You can find his work at BuzzBeat Podcast. Also, all over the ACC, your favorite ACC team's favorite website probably has something for Brian Geisinger writing about it. And one thing he specializes in is the NBA draft, that crossover from college guys to NBA. BG, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Hayes. How about you guys?
I'm doing great. And we've got so much to talk about. I might have to extend your time with us because we've got not only drafts to talk about, we've got trades to talk about. We've got, it's a new era now, Brian Geisinger, where a couple years ago, it'd be like, all right, most of these guys are college dudes that I know. Then there's some international guys that I've never seen play. May or may not have heard some about them, right? Now we've got, and I say now, it's probably been going on a couple years, but just like with international, it creeps in. Now there's more and more of them, and they're getting drafted higher and higher. These guys that are coming from overtime elite and things like that, where, and maybe it's the people of their generation are following these people. They're not watching their games necessarily. They're following their trend on social media. But is it like for you, example, we make fun of you for watching obscure college basketball games. Does your draft prep now include like watching the whole overtime elite season to see some of these guys that are going as lottery picks?
Yeah, for sure. In part because I thought there was a good chance the Hornets were going to end up picking third or fourth. I mean, they came into the night of the lottery. They came in with the fourth best odds of getting their one overall pick. So they would have been right in the middle of Thompson twin territory. So I actually had Amen Thompson third on my board above Brandon Miller. And I like Asar Thompson a lot as well. So yeah, watched Overtime Elite. I've watched a lot of G League Ignite, but that's like a 3-year trend now, you know, just because going back to Jalen Green, three seasons ago, and then also last year, you know, Dyson Daniels, Jaden Hardy, and this year, Scoot Henderson, Leonard Miller, Mojave King, Sidy Sissoko. So, like, yeah, you know, like, college is definitely my focus, especially along the ACC play and sort of like out like the entire country studying for the draft, because you also need to watch, you know, you got to watch smaller conferences, you got to watch Brandon Pachimski at Santa Clara in the West Coast Conference too, if you want to like be up on all of these guys. But yeah, that prep now, if you're going to take the holistic approach, it does include watching Ignite. It does include finding international teams like Met 92 with Victor Wembanyama and an Overtime Elite. Luckily though, Hayes, like these, like Overtime Elite, some of the, you know, G League, like you can find their games like on, you know, sometimes it's on, like when LaMelo Ball was playing in Australia, all those games were on Facebook. Yep. You know, so you can find them on Facebook or YouTube. You can find them on sometimes on ESPN Plus. That's where a lot of like G League stuff exists in terms of their like, you know, in terms of their basketball inventory. So you can find the stuff. It's just like, are you willing to kind of like commit the time to it?
Yep. I might ask you some more philosophical questions about fandom and players and their track to the NBA a little bit later. Let's break down specifically the draft. And let's start with the local team for us, the Charlotte Hornets. Everyone was mad. Everyone says Charlotte got it wrong. Scoot Henderson is supposed to be the slam dunk. I don't think anything otherwise. But just to play devil's advocate, Brandon Miller is like a really good player, and we also don't know like what it's going to look like in 5 years, right? Like, is it that easy to say the Hornets definitely got it wrong just based on the pick?
Yeah, it's tough because like the draft it's inexact, and we don't know anything for certain. I'm fairly confident, is maybe how I would frame it, that they got it wrong by passing up on Scoot Henderson, a guy that I think you're going to build offenses around. I think with his speed, his athleticism, the mid-range shooting, is someone that's constantly putting pressure on the defense and is going to be a player that can, you know, be an all-star and be someone that NBA teams build top 10 offenses around for the next decade plus. I like, but to your point though, I do like Brandon Miller as a prospect, and I did have like a top 4, top 5 grade on him for this draft. This is not like the Warriors taking James Wiseman second overall in 2022, right? Like, I like Miller is a better prospect. That year I had Wiseman like back end of the lottery. Miller is, you know, comes in at 20, has the, like, and there is like a projectable archetype for him, like as like the jumbo big wing, you know, gravity bending movement shooter that you can also run some pick and roll. I'm sort of like a little less wowed by the handle and the passing flashes that he showed at Alabama this past season. But I mean, he is one of the best 3-point shooters in the class. He can shoot off movement, and there are some, you know, dribble handoff, pick and roll, playmaking chops there as well. So yeah, like it's an okay pick. But I do think they missed out on Scoot pretty badly.
But like if they had the third pick and they took Brandon Miller, you would say they got it right?
I still probably would have had Amen Thompson above Brandon Miller. I know people were sort of seeing this as a 3-player class, but I just think Thompson's athleticism would give him like the slight edge for me over Miller, who again I think is quite good as a prospect, and I do certainly see the role for him as like tall wing shooter who might be able to run pick and rolls for you one day and can guard a couple of positions and do some stuff as a team defender. And ultimately though, to your point though, Hayes, like I think the Hornets did well late in the first round and early in the second round. So like if they had come into the night with a third pick and they had taken Brandon Miller and not had the opportunity to pass up on Scoot, and then they had, if the draft night had played out the exact same way, I would have said, you know, they had a good draft night. And instead you pass up on Scoot and probably the two biggest like viral videos from last night. Not like this should be sort of like any real indicator of draft night success,
no, I like it.
But absolutely outside of Grady Dick being dressed like, you know, BJ from the Righteous Gemstones, like the biggest viral videos from last night were Mitch Kupchak's press conference.
Oh my gosh.
And the Hornets mascot looking like me after it was announced that the Hornets had drafted Brandon Miller. And literally the video of the mascot putting his head in his hands inside of Spectrum Center is a sight to see.
Well, also, doesn't it just feel like, you know, sometimes when, you know, if the Browns have a big playoff game and you're like, I don't think the Browns are going to win. And you're like, why? You're like, well, just because it's the Browns, man. That's just the vibe I'm giving up. Like, because it's the Hornets making the pick against the player that everybody says is great, like, doesn't it feel just locked in that Scoot Henderson is now going to be an all-time great, maybe even better than Victor?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be better than Victor. Yes, like, I do feel like Scoot was already on, like, the all-star, all-NBA route, and you could probably, you know, get him fitted for a jacket into the Naismith Hall of Fame at this point, too. Go ahead and get that ready. I didn't see this happen live because, like, we were doing some stuff and recording, and we had kind of had like a live, you know, draft show going on.
Yep.
But I was informed by a former Sports Channel 8 listener and a Buzzbee podcast listener that Scoot's face after Brandon Miller was selected as the number 2 overall pick, Scoot didn't look exactly pleased. So
he's gonna like drop 45 every time he plays Charlotte. Like he's gonna average 45 against him.
It certainly wouldn't surprise me. And like, I mean, I'm pulling for all of the guys, right? Like I want everyone to be good. And
sure.
I hope I'm wrong about Brandon Miller. Like I hope I have missed something in the for the Hornets for this to work out well. I hope I've like missed something in my evaluation process with him that he turns into a better player than I think he's going to be. Like there is some superstar actual potential with him. But like, there is part of me that also kind of hopes that just like Scoot just goes on to have truly like an all-time career, and also just detonates on the Hornets every time he crosses paths with them.
Brian Geisinger joining us. Follow him on Twitter at BGeisBird. Can we play the Mitch Kupchak audio, Victoria? It's in there because he referenced it. We haven't quite had a chance to play it yet. It is just like you go into the night knowing who you're going to pick, right? So you know you're going to get asked, why did you pick this guy? And Mitch Kupchak, the hopefully and surely outgoing general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, this is his brilliant answer.
There's nothing like kicking back, tearing open a bag of M&Ms, and hanging with a friend. Now that's a good time. Whether you're at the movies, on a beach, or stuck in traffic, there are so many kinds of M&Ms to enjoy. Milk chocolate, peanut butter, minis, and many more. It's the iconic candy that's all about bringing people together to bond over colorful bite-sized chocolate candies, delicious flavors, and something else we all have in common. Fun. M&Ms. For all fun kind.
Hold on, we're looking for it. I'll give it to you in just a second. It's just amazing. Do you see it?
You sound like Mitch Kupchak filibustering right now, trying to get the video ready here.
Sorry, it's just above the This Man Speaks for All Hornets fans audio. All right, because that guy was great too. That was a Hornets fan that was at the game. All right, here we go with Mitch Kupchak.
Well, everything that we, every answer they got, we got to every question. I would say, he is a freshman, right? So, he's a little bit, I would say younger than, but I wouldn't say younger. Nah, I bet I didn't even go in that direction, actually. I'll just back off.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's not great.
What
it's not
was really, that?
It's not great.
I would feel better, BG, if he came out this morning and said, hey, it was a long night. We had our picks in, and I had like four beers, and I should have just had two beers. Like that was just the most bumbling, incoherent thing. He like contradicted / corrected himself on two different times and still failed to make any point at all. And the question I'm pretty sure was just, how did you guys decide to go with Brandon Miller, the number two pick?
Yeah, it's a real hard question to answer.
I mean,
it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. It doesn't come across as like a, like a real professional response in that situation. And, I do want to be like, it's probably worth noting, like, Mitch Kupchak, like, while he has some strengths as an executive at basketball, and I think has done some good team building things through the draft, has made some good picks during his 5 years with the Hornets. Sometimes in press conferences, he's not like the best.
Gotcha.
But this was probably sort of like one of his like rougher answers, and just like given the moment and the spotlight of the draft and passing up on Scoot, like all eyes were obviously going to be on it. It's one of those things. It's like you do want to be like, I guess, a little empathetic. Like it was a long day.
Yeah,
it's been a long few weeks, and like I'm not trying to like give cover or whatever. Like, excuse me, like that's not good enough, and that's not really what you want to see after your team drafts someone number two overall. But it had been a long day, and whatever. The one other thing I would say, like the other place my mind went to was because you can hear in that answer, he starts to say like when he says Brandon Miller was a freshman, which is true, Brandon Miller was a freshman at Alabama this past season, but he starts to say like he's younger, that part of the clip. Like if he's comparing Brandon Miller to Scoot is a year and a half younger than Brandon Miller. So it was like he was about to say something on that, then backtracked, and then just kind of got lost in the middle of the sentence and had no place to go. And look, the one other thing you could probably go to here is like, last week Michael Jordan agrees to sell his majority stake in the Hornets to two of the team's minority owners, but part of the process with that is that he would stay on and like help oversee the draft along with his handpicked general manager Mitch Kupchak, his handpicked assistant general manager and Buzz Peterson, and I mean let's not forget the VP of player personnel for the Hornets is also his Michael Jordan's brother. So like, so it's one of those things where like, it's tough. Cause is it like too many cooks in the kitchen, or did someone above Mitch Kupchak, and the only person who would have that authority, I guess, would either be like the outgoing owner or the incoming owners, and like that's a unique scenario. Yeah.
J. Cole picked Brandon Miller.
Yeah, they're gonna give the Martin twins a max contract next offseason. But yeah, so like it's just not probably not what you want. Although ultimately, like after that press conference, like, you know, Mitch Kupchak did rebound, and like they had the rest of the draft night, I think was pretty solid, like sort of, you know, viral videos notwithstanding.
Helping me break down the draft and other NBA news from around here is Brian Geisinger. Follow him on Twitter at BGeis_Bird. Check out his work at the BuzzBeat podcast, or for your favorite ACC team's favorite website. He probably writes for them. Does Victor Wembanyama easily make, is he great next year? Like, can he step in and be amazing in his first year?
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good next season. I mean, he'll still be scratching the surface. But yeah, I think he's going to, in part because he just has stuff that like translates, you know, naturally. Like, obviously he's going to have to, you know, probably change up the shot selection with what it's been with Bent 92, but he can shoot threes. He's obviously, he can guard pick and roll in a couple of different ways. He can protect the rim. And he's a really good finisher around the basket. And obviously with that size, like, he's pretty special. And like, for whatever it's worth, like, the Spurs have some stuff. Like, he's not going to be playing. They're not going to be very good. I don't think they're going to be young, but it's not like he's going to be playing with like he's the only good young player on this roster. Like, there's some good pieces in San Antonio: Trey Jones, Devin Vassell, Malachi Branham, Jeremy Sohan. So like, yeah, I think like stuff is in place for him to have, you know, a rookie of the year caliber season and be a top, you know, whatever player in the NBA. But yeah, I think he'll be good next season from the get-go.
Two Duke players drafted in the first round. Who got the better land? Taking out the fact that, in theory, everyone wants to be drafted higher because you make more money. But just in terms of team and fit, what do you like better, Derek Lively with the Mavs or Derek Whitehead with the Nets?
Yeah, I like Lively with the Mavs. Like, they really went with their draft picks. You could tell they focused on defense and length. And so Lively is a really nice pick for them at 12. And just a guy that's going to be happy to set a million screens per game for Luka Doncic. Like, he doesn't need the, you know, the Dwight Howard half dozen post-up touches to get him working hard on the glass and setting hard screens and stuff. Like, you put him on the court and like he gets the ball popping around offensively because he can pass a little bit. He crashes, he dives, and he screens hard. And then defensively, like, I mean, Hayes, you probably watched a lot of Lively this past season at Duke, like especially the back half of the year. I mean, he was like arguably the best defensive player in the country. He can guard pick and roll in every which way, up at the level, hard hedge, switch against out onto ones and twos. He can drop. Like, he'll have to get stronger. But his ground coverage, his communication, all of that is just so, so good defensively. Like, I got to see him up close at Cameron a lot this season. And he is a guy that, like, I think definitely really, like, takes ownership of a defense when he's, like, the backline rim protector and the guy that's got to call out screen coverages and stuff. But I also think Derek Whitehead landed in a decent spot in Brooklyn. Like, no pressure to play right away. In fact, I think they already came out and said that Whitehead won't play in summer league as he continues to recover. The Brooklyn Nets team doctor is also the doctor that performed surgery on Whitehead. Yeah. So
I thought that was funny. It's a little foreshadowing.
Yeah. So ultimately, yeah, I think it like both guys landed in good spots. And, you know, Whitehead's, there's a lot of wings on that roster. But I do think over the next, you know, season or two, Brooklyn's going to trade off some of those guys, you know, whether it's, you know, Mykal Bridges or Dorian Finney-Smith. I mean, they could re-sign Cam Johnson. I imagine they'll do that this offseason as well. But eventually, like, I think he'll be part of some young team's core. And just the main thing with him is just, like, try to get healthy because he's a really talented young player.
And then Tre'Quavion Smith, I think you expected him to be drafted. I know a lot of people did. I don't know if he has signed with anybody yet. I know those announcements come in a flurry. Was it a shock that he wasn't drafted? Or just mildly surprising?
I would stop maybe short of shock, but yeah, I would say it was pretty surprising. And yeah, he did. I believe it was a two-way contract with the 76ers. Philadelphia's like scouting department and front office actually did a pretty good job to get some undrafted players like as soon as the draft was ending. You know, it's one of those things where like I'm sure it stinks for Tre'Quavion. Like, I think he should have been drafted. I think he was, a top 30 prospect in this draft, maybe at worst a top 45 prospect. But Hayes, I can't remember if I was talking about this with you on here recently, or maybe it was Gold actually, but just sort of like,
There's nothing like kicking back, tearing open a bag of M&Ms, and hanging with a friend. Now that's a good time. Whether you're at the movies, on a beach, or stuck in traffic, there are so many kinds of M&Ms to enjoy. Milk chocolate, peanut butter, minis, and many more. It's the iconic candy that's all about bringing people together to bond over colorful bite-sized chocolate candies, delicious flavors, and something else we all have in common. Fun. M&Ms. For all fun kind.
Who else loves summer but gets a little overwhelmed by all the plans? Daily Harvest helps me conquer the morning and kick off my day with intention through nourishing and delicious food, all delivered to your door. Daily Harvest is the easiest way to get your daily serving of sustainably sourced fruits and vegetables without the shopping, chopping, and post-cooking cleanup. Go to dailyharvest.com right now, enter promo code HARVEST, and get up to $65 off your first order. Their strawberry and peach smoothie or apple and cinnamon opal are the perfect addition to my morning routine. They also have tons of options for any time of day, like flatbreads, harvest bowls, and bites. We all deserve easy mornings. Let Daily Harvest give you one less thing to worry about. So don't wait. Order your meals now at dailyharvest.com. Enter promo code HARVEST for up to $65 off your first order. That's dailyharvest.com, promo code HARVEST for up to $65 off.
Obviously, you probably want to be drafted, but if you are going to go undrafted, you at least have like a little more agency with like where you're going to go, right? Like, your agent can try to find a good spot for you and find a better opportunity, as opposed to, some team, one of the 30 teams picking you and then controlling your draft rights and being able to move those around in any which way. So it stinks. Like, Terquavion probably would have been a top 25, 30 pick a year ago. I thought he showed good growth as like a pick and roll passer and decision maker this season. I know he went through a really tough cold spell to end the year shooting wise, in an offense that was really relying on him to shoot a lot of tough shots off the dribble from the mid range or from three. I still think he had one of the best handles in this class. Some of the best deep shooting range. But I also understand he's 170 pounds and he's not a great defender. And he was sort of like inefficient as like a shooter from this season. So I get some of the knocks. I just think as like a creation bet, there's still upside there with Smith that would have appealed to one of the teams.
Brian Geisinger joining us, breaking down the NBA draft lottery. All right, final question, because it was the other big news right before the draft. Chris Paul got moved to the Wizards. Most people thought the final landing spot would be somewhere else, but I heard most people saying possibly the Clippers. I did not hear many people saying Warriors until it happened. Forget the whole Jordan Poole side of things. Who benefits more from this? Chris Paul, who gets a very legitimate shot at a ring, or the Warriors, who get an experienced and great point guard who maybe knows what his role is in his 18th season? Who benefits more in this move?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of worked out for all parties, including Washington. If I had to pick one, I would say, guy like Chris, because he gets out of a rebuilding situation in Washington and he gets to live in a cool city close to his family that's in California and play for a team that has title aspirations. But I do think it works for Golden State too. I think Chris is a bit of a strange fit in the offense. Golden State, they still run plenty of pick and roll with Steph Curry, but their thing has been off ball motion, split cuts, split action, like all of the, the weird fun handoff stuff they do with Draymond Green and Steph Curry. And that's never quite been Chris's game. Like he's an offensive genius for sure, but he's a little bit more methodical, pound the ball, get a good shot, run pick and roll, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll be curious to see how he fits in there, but I think there's a lot of really smart and talented veteran players in this coaching staff with Steve Kerr leading it that's also quite talented that, like, I think assuming they bring Draymond Green back, which would be my guess that they'll do that, Golden State wanted another ball handler because Jordan Poole, he needed a change of scenery and he really, really struggled for them in the playoffs this year. They needed someone that could take some of the playmaking load away from Steph and Draymond, and some of the ball handling away from Steph. And now you're looking at, you know, Golden State being able to have a top six of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, Chris Paul. You know, Chris probably doesn't have to play every game next season. He can play fewer minutes per game. And I do think he could look really good in a role next to Steph Curry. I don't, in the gravity that Steph has, this move is not the one I saw for sure. Like, I thought Chris made a little bit more sense in Miami or Milwaukee or Boston, or heck, if he got bought out by the Wizards, maybe I thought it would be cool if he would just sign with Denver and be a Jamal Murray's, you know, backup and be the sixth man to play next to Jokic. I thought that would have been pretty cool. But this was on my radar. I just didn't think it was super duper likely, just because they had the pool contract. Yeah. It seemed like that was a way for Golden State to get off of some of Poole's long-term money, and also bring in a big salary player like Chris Paul, which is, you know, sort of exactly what happened here. And then the Warriors drafted well last night too, getting Brandon Podziemski from Santa Clara is a really good, you know, guard that can really pass and shoot, and then getting Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's basically like the Big Ten's version of Armando Bacot at Indiana, but who is really strong, really physical, and can pass, and, you know, maybe do sort of like try to do some of the diet Draymond Green kind of stuff in the front court room for them.
Brian Geisinger, follow him on Twitter at bgeis_bird. Check out his analysis of the Hornets and other NBA stuff at BuzzBeat Radio, and check out his college hoops work at your favorite ACC team's favorite website. I keep saying it because basically he writes for so many teams, I can't list them all. BG, have you been to the beach yet this year?
I've not been to the beach yet this year. It's a bummer. At some point this summer, I'll get there, though.
All right, you got to get down there. Thanks, as always, for the time. And it's summer season, which means it's fill-in guest radio season, which means there's a decent chance you might get another call from me, my man. I appreciate you breaking down, as always.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Victoria predicted that that I was going to show up on.
She's smart.
Today, so
she is smart.
She's good at her job. But yeah, y'all have a good weekend, okay?
See you, man.